The Snow Rose by Lulu Taylor. Read by Imogen Church. Part 1. Chapter 1. Heather is behind me in the car. I can see her as I drive. Sometimes she's gazing out of the window, and at other times she's humming or talking quietly to herself. Expressions flitting over her face like bright little shadows. I wonder what's going on in that head of hers. She's always been full of whimsy and imagination. She's been quieter and more serious lately, but that's hardly surprising. She never asks me where we are going. Occasionally, I catch a glimpse of myself in the rearview mirror, just the glint of peroxide white hair or the frame of my sunglasses. And I wonder who on earth I'm looking at. I feel a jolt of fear, a rush of panic that makes my palms prickle and the ends of my fingers tingle, and have to fight the urge to press down on the accelerator and escape. Then I remember that this stranger is me. Peroxide white hair. What was I thinking? I'm supposed to be anonymous. And here I am with a platinum bob and a smear of scarlet lipstick on my mouth, looking like something from a science fiction movie or a spy thriller. I'm even wearing a black trench coat, and my boots have a heel of almost an inch. My theory is reverse psychology. Surely everyone will expect me to fade into the background, not draw attention to myself. They might suspect I'll change my appearance, but not to this. Rory once gave me a hat, a big brown fedora sort of thing, the kind with a countryside look about it. I used to wear it out shopping because, I discovered, it concealed me. People I knew would walk by me in the street. The hat was all they noticed, and their innate desire not to be seen to stare prevented them from dropping their gaze to my face. That was in my mind when I bought the box of peroxide. By looking extreme, I hope, I will automatically deflect the looks I most want to avoid. The searching gaze at my eyes. The frown as they realise I look familiar. Instead, they will look at the bright white hair, and that will draw them away from the things that mark me out as me. The things I cannot change. I had planned to disguise Heather too. I bought gingery red hair dye for her, and I was going to face paint freckles on her nose and cheeks. Then I found I couldn't bring myself to do it. So I decided I would cut her hair. The feathery blonde tresses would have to go. I'd give her something totally different, a tomboy cut. Perhaps even dress her as a boy. But I couldn't. I picked up the scissors, and I couldn't alter her. So she looks now just as she always has. Large china blue eyes, thick, straight lashes, the chin that has a little round bump with a dimple in it, inherited from her father, and the fair hair rippling over her shoulders.
"Are we nearly there yet?"
Heather asks from the back. She has taken everything in her stride, all the huge changes in her young life, everything that has happened between Rory and me, the departure from her home, the strange days we've spent together since then, before I discovered our new place, our hideout. I say cheerfully, "Not long now, sweetheart. Maybe an hour or so. Not too much longer." Heather goes back to staring out of the window. Where did she learn this patience of hers? She's always been so self-sufficient, so able to retreat into herself and find everything she needs there. "Do you want a story?" I ask. "I can put a CD on for you."
"Winnie the Pooh?"
she says eagerly. We had it earlier, but I don't mind if she wants it again. I can shut out the narrator's voice and think. An entire CD can play and I won't hear a word of it. "Yes," I say, and push the button to start up the story. The music begins and Heather smiles.